Praise God. God's good, right? Yeah. Pretty good. He is that good, you know. God's good. I like that song. It's day and night, night and day. It's like, you know, it's not a religious thing. Well, yeah, right. Joshua 1:8, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on the word day and night. So you can praise him anytime. You know, when I was working in California, I would just be praising him if I was by myself. I wasn't outwardly weird about it, but you just praise him, right? You just give him glory for all you do. And you know, right? And when you praise him, it doesn't have to be limited to just raising your hands. You know, praising can be how you act around people. That can be a form of worship to God, right? You know, then tithes and offering, ding, ding, ding. Praise can be giving, right? It can be how we give. How do we give of ourselves? How do we serve in the local church? How it's, you know, we can come and serve. We can come and vacuum the carpets like Miss Stephanie does, or clean and do stuff. I've seen Miss Sarah and all you guys who work so hard here do the garden and whatever you do. You know, we can serve, but that serving isn't an act of worship or a form of worship unless we got to have a right attitude. God said, I need a willing and obedient servant, right? So you got to be willing, you know, and sometimes that means you got to fix your attitude a little bit. You know, I've had to do it myself, especially like someone corrects you in a way. You're like, okay, well, I'm going to fix it. I'm not going to be soft and I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm going to do it, you know, and that's a form of worship, right? How we sing and what we do. So, you know what? I just want to do it a bit differently. Alicia, can you put up the saying list we do? Yeah, that thing. Thank you, Alicia. I just wanted to say it, then talk about it a little bit. We'll take it up. You know, you ushers, right now, y'all can hand out the tithe and offering envelopes too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. All right. As they're finishing passing those up, let's say this together real quick, then we'll talk about it. Offering of thanks. As we receive today's offering, we are thanking the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessings and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty inventions and ideas, wise investments, divine favor. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our financial needs, that we have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So we just said that, right? So what does that mean to you? What is what we just said mean to you? That means we just saw a lot of stuff that's like, we're going to be blessed, right? Right. Yeah. And if we'll say it, right. Right. So we just said all that stuff, and all that stuff is all encompassing, right? But you know what? The good thing about God is sometimes we can get a religious mindset saying, I have to do X and Y to get this. I have to do this to get this. I have to pray this many hours a day to do this. I have to worship this many hours a day. And you know what? Like Pastor Nancy said, she kind of described it like this. If you're trying to do a bunch of stuff in a day to please God, then, you know, if I'm hanging out with my best friend, or if you're hanging out with your spouse, you know, you're not counting the hours. You're not counting the hours, be like, okay, we got an hour, we're done, right? You know, you just spend time with them. You just enjoy that time with them. So same thing goes with God. When we spend time with God, we're not restricted to, we have to talk about this. We have to talk about this for 30 minutes. We have to do this for 30 minutes. That'd just be weird, right? If you're doing that with your friend, no one wants to hang out with you. So when we're hanging straight up, so when you're hanging out with God, when you're spending time with God, fellowshipping with him, it's more of a flow. The way Pastor Nancy, she described it so well. Instead of going like this, where you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 things you can do. I can pray in the spirit. I can worship. I can read the word. Okay, but the Holy Ghost is going to lead you to do it like this, you know, where it all flows together. And you may not be in the Word like for a day. Or today, God might have you just praising and worshiping Him. The other day, you might be in the Word, you know. So that's the thing with this. When we give an offering, you know, but we don't have, that's all encompassing in the blessing. If you look in Deuteronomy, all that stuff is part of the blessing, right? If we fellowship with God and we let our spirit dominate us and we're, if we're just dominated by the Holy Ghost in our everyday life and we just spend time with Him, all that stuff will flow. You know, and the great thing about it too, I've had, I think probably 90% of the things that I've received from God in my life, absolutely received from God. I'd maybe say 90%. I don't know that exact number, but I didn't release my faith for. And what I mean by that is like, a lot of times God will bless you. And says, a man whose ways please the Lord will cause his enemies to be at peace with him. There's another verse in the Bible that says, when you please the Lord, when you seek God first, things will come to you, right? And a lot of that time, God will just bless you for obedience. It's funny because so many times we expect it has to be, we have to release faith for this. We have to spend time in the Word. I got to do this. I got to do that. But you know what? It's not all that. When you just put God first and you just obey Him in the daily things, that's when things start to flow and things start to happen for you and you start to learn. But then you also learn how to release your faith for things. And it's good. It's easy. This flow is easy, you know. God is good. Amen. So, amen. Let's hold our offering up to the Lord. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you that you put a local church in this place which we can go to, Lord. We're grateful for it, Father. We're grateful for your plan for this service. We're grateful for your plan for each and every one of our lives, Father. And as we sow and give money today, Lord, we don't give begrudgingly, Father. We don't give out of just because of necessity. We don't give because we have to give tithes and offerings, Father. But we give because it is what you asked us to do, Father, and we love to give because it is to you, Father. And we know that when we give, Father, we don't have to worry about the money coming back because you are a faithful God, Lord. You're a faithful God to us, and we're grateful. We're grateful to have such a God that knows everything, that knows what our wants are, that knows what our needs are. When we just say it to you, Father, you bless us more than we can even think of, Lord. More and far exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, Lord. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful that we get a gift today, and we're grateful for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you,
praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father God. Thank you,
Hallelujah. Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Worship you, Father God. Glory.
Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Hallelujah.
In the presence of my enemies.
We're blessed. Man, we're blessed.
I
say we live in a pretty good country, huh? Pretty good country. We have it pretty good. We're very, very, very blessed. Blessed that we get to assemble. Blessed to do all we get to do here. I mean, we have our own property that we own that's paid off. We have stuff we can do to the property to make it more fun for people. You know what I mean? We have it pretty good. We're blessed, and you know, it's because of faithfulness. You know, you guys have been, a lot of you have been in here a long time, faithful, and without people, you know, the vision needs people, and you know, God will bring people to support something, and it doesn't matter necessarily how big or how the notoriety of that thing or how popular that thing may be. It's all in the fact that we're assembled, and in God's eyes, I'm trying to get this in my thinking too. God doesn't see things the way we necessarily do in the natural. You know, we see people, we see stuff like that, but God sees. He just sees on every church there's an anointing and there's a mantle, right? And we know there's a mantle and there's an anointing on this church. We know that for a fact. We know that there's an angel assigned to this church. And when we do that, we have to serve with that same mindset that this is something God ordained from the very beginning, right? And we're not to lose it. We're supposed to honor that. And, you know, we honor that when we serve in the local church and when we, with what we do. So the pastor receives a vision for a church, right? And I'm not the pastor. I don't know why I'm pointing at myself. But Pastor Jackie receives the vision, right?
Yeah.
Pastor Jackie receives the vision. Now, as helpers in the church, we are a ministry of helps. Or if you're on staff, administrator, whatever you do, you know, that role has an anointing that goes with it. But that anointing stems from the pastor, right? So we got to be in line with the vision of the pastor. We got to be in line with what the pastor's doing. And then we can fully serve in the anointing God in the place God put us, right? So that's just so important to understand and recognize that we're blessed to be here. And y'all are cool. We got a good bunch here, you know. And it's going to grow, and we're blessed. We have a good. You know, pastors, or Pastor Jackie, she obviously you heard, she's in California, right? Still in California, so she's enjoying it. So I got a little something here. Hopefully she doesn't call me and say this is reprimand me. No, it's all good. We'll be good. Oh, thank you, bro. Appreciate it. Let me use it right now. So I want to title this, It's in the Everyday. You know, like we were saying, with how we worship, he said day and night, night and day. That's an everyday thing, right? Yeah. Night comes every day, day comes every day. So this is one thing I learned from Bible school, and I think these are from some of my notes, but greatness lies within what we do every single day and how we do it. So let's turn to Genesis 5:22. Alicia, and you can put it in the Amplified. I like this one because this is talking about someone in the Old Testament, right? And this Old Covenant was a bit different than our covenant in the fact that they don't have that relationship with God like we do today, right? So you got to see that with that point of view. These people they're not filled with, the Spirit can come upon people like the king and the priest and the Levites and those old priests, those Old Testament priests, but they were never in filling with people. So we have it pretty good. No, perfect. So I'll read it from here. So it says, Enoch walked in habitual fellowship. Y'all get that? Habitual fellowship. That means habitual. It's their habit, right? With God after the birth of Methuselah, 300 years and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, if you go before that, it says Enoch started his habitual fellowship at 65 years old. So for 300 years, that's a long time, man. He was walking in habitual fellowship with God, right? 300 years of this. So, I mean, you think about 300 years, I'm like, okay. So you can't... Well, actually, let's go to the next verse. Alicia, I apologize. I'm cutting myself short. And Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was not, for God took him home with him. How many of you know that was, he was essentially raptured, the way we know, or a good word to describe it. He was just taken up.
Yeah.
Now, that's pretty significant, right? Enoch wasn't, I mean, he was from one of the descendants of Adam, right? But he wasn't, I don't know how to say it. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even filled with the Spirit, but he was taken up, right? That's pretty significant. I'm like, okay, what's this, what is this guy doing, like, If I'm in a better covenant than him, how should I be acting? And you go to that word habitual, right? Habitual is an everyday thing. And when we look at what a habit is something we just do. We don't even think about it, right? I hate to use this, but when we're using the restroom, we don't think about it, right? I don't mean to be cruel. We don't think about what we're doing, right? We just do it. When we're eating, we don't think about the hand-eye coordination, the motion between you. We just put food to our mouth, you know? Some of us do it real fast, and we like it. And I like food, you know? Yeah, I do. Need to watch it. When you're drinking a water bottle, you know, you just take the cap off and drink it because it's something you're in the habit of doing, right? If you do it every day, you're going to do it easily. What that is you're exercising your senses and you're exercising your mind to get skilled at doing something to where your mind doesn't get in the way of doing it. You kind of do it on autopilot. It's like what they call the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. Your heart, you don't think about your heart beating, it just beats. When you're not thinking about breathing, you just breathe without doing it, you know. Anyway, if you think about it, you're going to start thinking about it. But So Enoch walked for 300 years in habitual fellowship. That means he's talking with God. He's communing with God 300 years straight, right? 300 years straight. So, okay, I think about 300 years. I'm like, all right, so 300 years ago, 1721. All right, America wasn't a colony yet. The British Empire was huge, right, Ian, Sally, Shirley? That's right. They were pretty big, right? So that many years, I imagine someone living from then to then. So if it's habitual fellowship for 300 years, number one, you ain't going to get tired of it. You got to like what you're doing if you're going to be doing it for 300 years, right? You're not going to be doing something you don't like for 300 years. So Enoch, who wasn't filled with the Spirit, is doing this for 300 years, right? He fellowshiped so much to where it just became a habit, to where if he didn't spend a day or time fellowshipping, it would be weird to him, right? Yeah. It'd be like, oh, what's going on today? Like, it feels different. I mean, how much more us now? We're in a different covenant. We're filled with the Spirit. We're alive unto God. Our spirits are alive. We have the blood of Jesus on the throne. So in that, we shouldn't, and I'm just preaching to myself too, we shouldn't let time with God be a special occurrence, you know? We shouldn't let our daily walk with God be something as arduous or burdensome. It shouldn't be like, we shouldn't be, I'll do a real world example. I'm watching TV, I'm playing video games or something like that. I don't do it as much as I used to, and then I'm like, you know what, I got to spend time with God. But then I do it, and I get in the Word, and I'm like, okay, this is good. I'm reading it, and I'm like, this is just me doing it haphazardly. There's none of me is in it, right? So, but when I go to the Word and I say, Lord, I'm going to purposefully spend my time with you. And the good part is about it, what faith is, you don't have to feel like it. You can feel like just playing video games all day. But if you purposely go into the Word, spend time in the Word, you say, all right, Lord, I'm going to learn from your Word. I'm going to be received from your Word. I'm going to let that Word be revealed to me and that real thing be revealed to me. Then God can start talking to you. And what the Holy Ghost does, he's going to enlighten certain parts of the Word, you know. We don't have to read a whole 10 chapters every day, right? That's pretty easy. But he's going to enlighten that certain part of the Word to us, and it's going to become real to us. So that's what the good part about our covenant, as I said. And the great part about this is the more you do it, the better you get at it, right? So gaining skill requires us continual. So continual practice, continual doing. I mean, you don't get better at a sport. You don't get better at mowing the lawn. You don't get better at sweeping, mopping. You don't get better at anything, playing an instrument, without practicing it continually, right? Same thing that goes with the Word. It's just straight up. And the good part about it, this is easy, you know? You just start it. You may not feel like doing it. You may not feel like being in the Word, but you just do it. You, as an act, you say, Lord, as an act of my will, I'm going to do it. Amen. I'm going to step out and do it.
Right.
So, and this is the part that I had to really get over. And I'm over now in Jesus' name. But it's not to, we don't have to religiously structure our time, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to go tell Tony, or I'm not going to go tell Mary. I'm not going to be like, hey, you guys need to spend 4 hours in the Word today because I spent 4 hours in the Word today. No, the Holy Ghost may be like, no, they should be praying. I want them just worshiping me throughout the day. They got a busy day. Then they can spend, you know, everyone's different, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's at a different place. We ain't got to be religious with be like, you got to do this. You got to do this. Now, if Pastor Ken or Pastor Jackie tells us to do something, you know, that's, they hear from God and they're instructing us to do it, right? That's, but I'm not going to tell Ron, hey, he's got to work 12 hours a day. And I'm not going to tell him, hey, you gotta spend 6 hours in the Word. You know, we don't do that. That's just, yeah. That'd be weird. No one's going to like you if you constantly do that straight. You know, but the good part about it is we're to be led every day. And we have the Holy Ghost. We have the Comforter. And I know all of you here, which is good, y'all are filled with the Holy Ghost, right? So when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that means you're led continually, and he's going to enlighten that word to you. And you'll start looking at the Word of God when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll be like, oh, this is interesting. I was like, man, this is like, I really start liking this. It's not boring to me anymore. It's not arduous. It's not burdensome. I kind of want more of this. I kind of want to do a little more. And you start to realize when a situation comes in your life and the devil's like, oh, you owe this much money soon. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? That revelation is going to rise up and you're going to answer. You're going to say, no. I was reading the other day and God, the Holy Ghost was enlightening to me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Oh, God will prepare me. Oh, like, God, you set me up yesterday to do that, huh? Oh, that's interesting, Lord. I'm glad you did that. Thanks for doing that. Next day, your right arm starts hurting or something like that. You start feeling hurt about something. I don't know what it is. But the Holy Ghost a week before had you meditate on healing that whole week, right?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for preparing me ahead of time. But if you don't take the time to prepare in advance, when it gets to the situation, it's gonna be rough. And I've been there before. I've been in California, and I'm like, oh, I owe this much money. And I didn't do squat. Spent time in the Word. I didn't spend any time in the Word. And you try to come from the Spirit, but the Spirit, you've been giving rise to the flesh all day. You've been feeding the flesh by just constantly laying in bed or playing video games or I don't know. Whatever it is you do, you may be online shopping, you may be painting your nails or makeup or whatever it is you girls do. It's the thing about it is you got to do it in advance, right? You got to spend time in advance, you got to prepare in advance. And the good part is the Holy Ghost will let you. And you don't have to be like, oh, if I don't get this mindset. The devil's going to be like, hey, you didn't do much last week to prepare in the Word, so you have no faith in you to bring the problem out. No, that's not how God works. The Holy Ghost will enlighten you. And if you obey the Holy Ghost, then you'll be prepared. And if you didn't obey the Holy Ghost and didn't spend time in the Word, the Holy Ghost will still enlighten you if you take the time. You know, it's just, God's good. He's got our backs. He's good. So, you know, time spent with our Father is like nothing else on the planet. You know, He put us here to fellowship with us, right? We're not on this planet to go to college or do whatever, make money, get a house, have kids, die. I mean, we're not animals, right? That's not our purpose. We're not eat, live, die. You know, that's like, God has a purpose for us. And the only greatness in life is in God's plan. You may be a billionaire. You may be, you may save a million lives. I don't know. But if you're not in the plan of God, there's no greatness involved in that, because that thing will be forgotten, you know. So many times, you know, all this political commotion that's been going on, you know, it's easy to look at it and get kind of scared and be like, oh, what's going on, you know. But one thing to do is like, one thing that helped me is like, God told Brother Keith Moore, he's like, y'all are going to forget about this in a year from now. And you'll have no idea what's going to happen in 5 years from now. But he said, my word lasts forever. Yeah. And when my word lasts forever, that means you're going to focus on that word. Yeah. You're going to, you know, with the things that are going on, sometimes it's better not to, I don't even entertain a lot of the stuff that's going on. I'm just like, okay, well, that's cool. And, you know, what's good is good. I hear a lot of people preaching good things, but I just stay with the word, you know. The word will keep you safe when you don't know what to do. And, I mean, God never told me to get involved politically, so I'm like, thank God for that. I don't have to do that job. You know, receiving revelation given by the Holy Ghost, that's something that I think that's something that's like underrated. I that's a weird word to use because it's like a sport term, but it's underrated in the fact that you can receive whatever you need from your life by listening to the Holy Ghost. And what that includes is coming to church. You know, you got to, when we have church, you just got to be here because God's going to talk to you, you know. And the way you honor God is by obeying Him and showing up to church. And I mean, people say, you know, one thing that God will do is He may not tell you something personally. He may tell you it through your pastor, right?
Yes.
He may tell you that through your pastor. And sometimes we got to be at church to obey that. If not, you just listen to the message. It's like, we're not religious. You don't have, if you're gone for something, no big deal. But you got to just be attentive to listen, you know, and obey the Holy Ghost with your heart. If you can't be at church, don't be religious about it. Be like, oh, I'm going to go to hell because I'm not going to church. No, that's not how it works. But you obey the Holy Ghost. And things will, one thing about the Holy Ghost is He will always keep you ahead of the game. He'll always keep you ahead of the game. He'll keep you sound. He'll keep you right. Yeah, safe. And if you just got to obey Him. You just got to obey Him. But if He says, don't miss church for the next year, it's like, okay, I got to obey that as much as I may not want to or do it. So, you know, with God told Pastor Nancy this. He said, and I'm paraphrasing it, but we're to start our day with Him and keep our mind focused on Him throughout the day. Reason being is when you start your day with Him in the Spirit, when you start worshiping or you dance in the spirit 5 minutes, you pray in tongues 15 minutes. You do what you can in the morning, you know. You don't got to spend 2 hours in the morning, but you do what you do. What that does is it lines your spirit up and it puts your flesh under. You know, Paul said, I put under my flesh. Your flesh is the one that just wants to eat all day, sleep, do nothing, and be lazy. And that's what's wrong with, you see some people in society, they're just flesh dominated. That's why they're not successful. And anyone who isn't in the body of Christ, who is successful, they've lived off principles of the Word of God, right? They've lived off of discipline, those billionaires or whatever. That's just how it is. So what that does, it keeps the flesh down, and it keeps the flesh down. You get in the habit of keeping the flesh down the whole day. You know, when you're, the good part about it is God will keep you ahead of the game. Like, sometimes he'll have you meditate on a word, then sister or a brother or sister or mom or dad, so-and-so will say something that kind of ticks you off a little bit. And you want to say something back, right? But what that does, you're practicing and keeping your flesh under. And what that does, it gives light into your spirit. So you just operate from that love that's within you. And that love that's within you, it'll naturally, it's almost like when you practice it and when you meditate on that love within you, it'll come out easy. And you know, you don't have to try to walk in love. When you're full of the word and when you're full of the spirit, you don't got to try. You know, things just happen, right? And it's almost, the best way to describe it is a flow. And, you know, let's turn to Romans 14, 17 through 18. This is the part about flows that are so good. We don't have to constantly, it doesn't have to be a burdensome, we have to do this in our life. We gotta meditate, we gotta pray, we have to do this. A flow is just like, it just happens naturally, and it's easy and light, and you enjoy that flow. Yes. One thing is, like, if you're not enjoying God, there's something wrong, you know? Yeah, there really is. Like, you should be enjoying it, and the best thing about it is it's easy to enjoy, and it's easy. It's an easy flow. So Romans 14, 17 through 18. After all, the kingdom of God is not a matter of getting the food and drink one likes, but instead it is righteousness, that state which makes a person acceptable to God, and heart, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Turn to the next. Yeah. And he who serves Christ in this way is acceptable and pleasing to God and is approved by men. So this is the fun part, and this is the convicting part for me. If you're not in peace and if you're not in joy, then Amen. Are we in the kingdom of God? Are we living from the kingdom of God? You know, it's easy for me to respond out of my flesh and be like, hey, you shouldn't talk to me like that. Like, what you doing, bro? Like, back up. Like, you might want to slap someone. You might want to hit someone. That's what the flesh wants to do. That's what my flesh. Others' flesh may want to gossip behind their back. Everyone has flesh that's going to respond unkindly, right? And the good part about the kingdom of God is it puts us in a place where we operate out of our spirit and righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? So you start enjoying things, and things just don't bother you anymore. And one thing I had to realize is if I'm corrected for something and I'm bothered by it, what I like what my old football coach, he said, be like, you're just being soft, John. Like, don't be a softy, don't be a Sally, is what they say. But what it is you're just, when you're responding, it's weakness because you're responding from a carnal nature. You know, we're not to be carnal Christians. And what a carnal Christian is a Christian who constantly feeds their flesh, gives way to the flesh, and is dominated by their flesh because they're not feeding their spirit. You know, the mind, imagine the mind in the middle, right? And I got Tony on that side, I got Sherry. Let's say Tony is my spirit. He's my nature that wants to do good, right? And I got Sherry, she's the devil. she's the flesh, you know? She don't like... Yeah, you can ask Ron. No, it's fine. She wants to do bad things. She wants me to just be lazy all day. The flesh wants to be. Sherry's a good person, by the way, if y'all don't know. But and I'm my mind, right? Okay, my mind spends all time. Okay, I wake up and I'm on Instagram looking at cars all day. Cool, not a bad thing, but time I could be spending to God. My grandma comes up to me. She's like, John, you need to not do this in service. And I'm like, okay, yes, ma'am. Then I get angry about it and I respond to my flesh. Okay, here we go again. The guy cuts me off at a stoplight. I flip him the bird. Okay, I come this way, right? So I'm my mind, right? And I keep going towards my flesh. And when I feed my mind on fleshly things, I'm going to slowly creep over here without the mic going back. I'm going to creep over to my flesh and I'm going to side with my flesh. So whatever comes through the mind is going to be filtered through the carnal nature, my carnal nature. My spirit's alive. Imagine a tug of war. If me and Sherry are against Tony, Tony ain't going to win, right? Right? So it's 2v1. Like, and if my spirit wants to give way, my spirit wants to say, hey, respond in love, but it can't because my mind is with my flesh. But I start coming over here. I start reading and meditating on the word. I'm like, Lord, that was wrong. I repent. Okay. Someone corrects me. Because I've had the word in me, I say, Lord, that really ticked me off, but you know what? I'm just going to respond in love. I say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Whatever you want. Someone cuts me off in traffic. I don't flip from the bird. That might be good for some of you. Someone slaps me in the face, I turn the other cheek. You know, just straight up things. And then I start siding with my spirit. So a big trial arises. And the devil's like, oh, you owe $4,000 here. You owe $3,000 here. You owe this and that. And instead of me going to my flesh and getting all worried about it, I'm like, oh, I'm with my spirit now. And my spirit, what is my spirit going to say? It's going to say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, right? Right? So if we're tug of war against Sherry, I know Sherry's really strong, but I think we'll still win. So, and that's the good part about it. I love this illustration because your mind is the gateway, right? And what you feed yourself with is how you're going to respond. And it's just an everyday thing. You don't have to be religious about it, but you just, when you get up for work at 6 a.m., just start talking to God. You can talk to him while you shower, while you're sleeping in the restroom, brushing your teeth. Well, you can't do that, but you can just talk to him in any way you can, you know? And that's what a relationship is. It's spending time. It's not necessarily organized. It's not allotting God 4 hours a day. I'm not going to say, God, these are your 4 hours you can talk to me. No. God's ever present, right? And are we not filled with the Holy Spirit? We have God in us. So is he able to talk to us all the time?
Yes. Amen.
Easy. So, you know, this is one thing God kind of showed me. He said, every day with me is every day in victory. And now what every day with me means is you may be occupied with things like your job, like your kids, like your spouse, or you, just doing work at the church or serving, you know. But you can still fellowship with God. I find that's one of the best times when you're by yourself serving, you know, then you can talk to God. That's a great place to talk to God. I've seen some of you do it, you know, great examples. So whether circumstances reveal it or not, victory is our flow. And we're to act like that regardless of how we feel about a situation. So now this is getting more into the faith side of it. When we may feel, just because, now this is important to understand, you spend time with God and a situation comes. And that's then the devil says something to you to try to trick you, and he's going to bring that sense of fear, right? And that sense of fear is to try to get you to believe. You know, God brings his anointing. Just like he tries to imitate God. God gives you a word, and there's an anointing behind it. If he calls you up to give a word or something, or the word is being preached, it's the anointing that teaches, right? Like the word says. The anointing is that burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God that teaches you and helps. It's like an inner feeling. It helps you. It can be, the anointing can be tangible, right? But it'll help you understand the word, and it'll teach you the word because you know the anointing's present, right? Well, the devil tries to copy the exact same thing, right? The devil's just going to be like, hey, I'm gonna give you, I'm going to put a trial in your life, right? And I'm going to say this. Oh, this isn't going to work out. Your kids aren't going to make it. Your parents aren't going to do this. Something bad's going to happen. Then he tries to bring that spirit of fear. Now, you may feel that spirit of fear, but that doesn't mean you have to yield to it. This is my favorite part about faith. You can feel like you're about to just like capitulate, collapse. You can feel like anything's about to go wrong, but you can just respond saying, hallelujah. You can joy. You can just give praise to God when straight in the midst of the trial. And trust me, it works. Like, that. You know, I think Pastor Morgan said this in California. She said, faith works the best and is the strongest when you don't feel like it. So when you wake up and you don't feel like doing anything, but when you praise God, that's activating faith, and it'll work for you throughout the day. You know, the faith is what receives. Faith receives what grace gives, right? When we act on something that we have in us, regardless of whether we feel like it or not, if my flesh wants to talk all this smack and be like, hey, You should just shut your mouth and go to bed. You shouldn't go to church today. My spirit's like, do this. And I'm kind of in the middle, but I'm like, you know what? I'm over here and I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of obeying my flesh. I received the word. I'm going to obey my spirit, right? I'm going to obey Brother Tony. And Brother Tony's going to say, why don't you just praise God? And I'm like, spirit, I don't feel like praising God, but I'm just going to do it. And I'm like, oh, praise God. I feel a little bit better, you know? I feel a little bit better. You know, you'll start, if you act on it enough, you'll feel it. Trust me, you'll feel it. Same with laughing. Some of y'all, I can say ha 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 and I don't feel nothing, right? But I don't have to feel anything necessarily. I'm doing it from the spirit, right? But if you keep doing it, and if you keep doing it every day, you're going to start feeling it, right? You're going to start feeling a little tipsy when you say it too. Ha 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 is just like I'm releasing faith when I'm saying ha ha ha. Right? I'm not just doing it haphazardly, like mindless. I'm releasing faith when I'm doing it. And when I release faith when I say it, that's me, that's victory, right? You got to feel like it. But the more you do it, like I said, the more you do it, the more skillful you get at it, the faster you're going to get into that feeling part and the better it gets, right? So you just got to do it a little bit. Sometimes we say to ourselves, oh man, if I could only do this. Well, you just keep with it, you know? You just keep with it day after day. You just slowly get into it, and it'll happen for you. I'm not there. You see Pastor Noel, he'll get up, and he just starts laughing immediately, right? Or Pastor Jackie or someone, and you're just like, okay, he's at that level, but that just shows me that I can get to that level, you know? And he took the time to get there, and I'm blessed to be able to sit under someone who's skillful like that, like Pastor Jackie or Pastor Ken, and I get to be like, oh, now, okay, I can be like that. And it may not take as much time. I just got to start doing it every day. Amen. See, it's in the habitual fellowship, habitual doing of things. If I make it a habit to laugh every day, if I make it a habit to praise every day, it'll just be easy. And and soon enough, you're so sided with your spirit, your flesh is just like, why don't you just go watch TV? And you'd be like, what'd you say? I can't even hear it. You know, you start not hearing it. It starts becoming null and void to you. It becomes null and void to what you're going to be doing in that day. So this is a good verse. James 1, 2 through 4. And I'll just read it, Alicia. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, right? So the testing, right? Testing plus faith equals what? Patience. Say it. Testing plus faith equals, all right, testing plus faith equals, there we go, y'all got it. I know math is hard sometimes, it's all good. So the testing of our faith produces patience. So testing plus nothing is equal to, oh, right, nothing. What if we don't have, what if there's no faith to be tested? If we're in the word, we're doing this, we're like, oh, praise God. God's so good. But you spend a whole week and the Holy Ghost is nudging you like, hey, why don't you spend time with me? But you're like, no, I really don't feel like it. I just want to do this. I want to just go get McDonald's. I just want to go spend time in the word. I want to go watch TV. You cater to your flesh. And what that does is you have a lack of faith, right? And so when you're tested from a lack of faith, I'm going to side with my carnal nature. Right? And your carnal nature, everyone's carnal nature is ugly. I don't care who you are. It's not because you're a bad person. It's just our flesh nature is ugly. But our spirit is what got born again, right? That's the nature of God. But our flesh ain't born again, right? How many of y'all know our flesh isn't born again? Yep. And our flesh can be ugly. I know my flesh can be ugly. I can be irritable. I can be tired. And the more I'm the more you start realizing these things, you realize how much you don't want to act out of the flesh. Like, God, I hope you're not around me when I'm you don't want to, you know. Right. And so so if I have patience, right, patience over here, then I have my faith and the trials come. Okay. So it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay, let's say you haven't been in the Word all week, all right? And a trial comes, and you're like, oh man, I don't have any faith. Well, no problem. Count it. It says, what does it say? Number one, count it all joy. So what are you going to do when a trial comes? You're going to laugh. You just count it all joy. No problem. It's all good. We'll get back into faith. You know what? Next week, I'll obey the Holy Ghost. But if you count it all joy when you fall into various trials, if you do that, number one, you'll be good because that's faith. You're releasing faith when you joy, right? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, what patience is patience is a fruit of the Spirit, right? And it's a fruit. Fruit grows, right? So fruit grows when we feed that patience, and when we grow that fruit, that fruit's bigger, right? So if I have a huge piece of fruit, it's real easy for me to take a bite out of that and be like, oh, that's how I'm going to act, right? But if I got a small little apple over there, I got to look for it, and then it's a fruit that's not grown. Like, well, I'm trying to dig for patience out of my spirit, but I ain't got none, so I'm going to be ticked. Like, just don't talk to me, you know? So if you're not growing that thing, then it's not gonna work for you. You know what? Let's turn to Ephesians 5, Alicia, in the New King James. 17 through 21 is what we'll do. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. All right. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And at least you can hold it there for a sec. Be filled with the Spirit. If you look what I got to get this right. The New Testament was written in originally Greek, right? If I get that right. So it's written in Greek. And when they were translating it, the Greek word be filled translates to be being filled. Right, so what does be being filled sound like? I don't know the from Latin class the tenses, but there's like a past perfect participle or something like that. But it's a continual process, right? So when I have a continual process, that means what do I do it every day, right? Night and day, day and night, right? I got to do it all the time. So be being filled with the Spirit. All right. So check this out. If I gotta continually be filled, does that mean I'm pouring out too? Yeah. Like if I have this water bottle and I gotta constantly fill it up, but it has a limited capacity, that means I gotta pour some out too, right? Yeah. Every day is gonna require with faith. So faith comes and faith goes. For those of you who may not know, just faith. Yeah. Faith can come, yeah. But faith goes too. You're constantly releasing faith, and faith has a short shelf life too. This is important about faith. Amen. Faith. You use it. If you don't use it, if I don't use last week's faith, it ain't going to work for me this week, you know? Because the trials, what the world is constantly filling you with stuff, and you got to stay on top of it. You know, if I have, I love the illustration Pastor Nancy used. She has her dog's water bowl, right? And it's filled with bugs. Well, she doesn't just take the bugs out hand by hand. She just puts a hose in that thing, and she just fills it up, right? And that's what filling up is. You may have things that come against you. You may feel irritable, but you just fill up. You don't have to actively try to get things out of you. You just fill up with the right thing, right? So be being filled with the Spirit. Speaking, and at least you can go to the next one. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stop there. Those are just a few verses that show us how to be being filled, right? Yeah, yeah. So we can be being filled by being in the Word. We can be being filled by giving thanks to God. Yeah. We can be being filled by praising God. Yeah. And it didn't say giving thanks always, or say giving thanks always for all things to the God. It didn't say giving thanks at least 4 hours and 30 minutes of the day, and you have to do it when the sun rises, and you have to do it before you go to the bathroom. Like, no. We're not religious about it, right? It says giving thanks always for all things, always, right? And always is almost like it becomes a state of mind. You become thankful. And here's the good part about it. Your mind can be, you can think differently, right? You can think differently. Your spirit's renewed, right? But I can think differently. When I get into the Word, my mind is renewed and I start thinking differently. I start thinking, oh, you know what? I'm so thankful for that. And it becomes your state of mind, right? To where your mind, so your soul is, here's a good one. Your mind is your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, right? Your mind constantly changes, but it's very rare that your will change. Like if my will is to be at this church, I'm going to be here, right? My mind may change about other things. Now what happens is when your mind is constantly changed on something, it's going to start affecting your will, But your will is more like of a stationary thing. And check this out. If I'm constantly feeding, the devil brings a thought of offense toward my pastors, right? I'm constantly feeding that thought. What it's going to do, it's going to start changing my will and start to alter my will to where my state of mind of my pastors is a state of mind of offense, right? And then maybe I leave the church. Your will is what ultimately affects what you do. So check this out. If I spend time in the Word, if I'm renewing my mind, it's going to change my will, right? So if my will is in line with the Word and I'm focused on the Spirit, if I mess up or something bad happens, you know what? I just get back right in line with my will. You know, things can happen. You may mess up. It's okay. You may respond wrong. You may disobey God or not obey the leading of the Spirit at that specific time. But you just go back. Your will is so in tune with God. You're like, Lord, I repent. You just start renewing your mind again, right? That's the good part about it. God kind of hardwired us to for this faith life, to live it outright. We're not robots, obviously, but we are hardwired to live it out, and that's the good part about it. So, you know, yeah. Me being filled, you know, it's a continuous process, an everyday event, if you will, but it should be, like we said earlier, it should be a habit, you know. We should make it a habit every day to be being filled. And the good part about habits, again, habits are kind of hardwiring us to do a certain thing. If I'm so used to throwing a football, shooting a basketball a certain way, or playing the piano, or I don't know, if I sneeze a certain way, if I'm used to sneezing a certain way, I'm not going to change that way if I've been doing it for the past 20 years, right? Right? You're naturally just going to sneeze, like at you, or if you have a high pitch, right? Yeah. You do that little sneeze, right? They do. But right, you're not going to change that unless you continue, like, for a number of times, you just constantly say, hey, I'm not going to do it. Or if you constantly sneeze, like, a chew or a low voice or whatever you do, you're going to change it, right? See, I'm using this. It might not be the best example, but but everyday habits are something that are hardwired into us. So if I make it a habit to spend time with God every day, have a mindset of I'm going to spend time with God, but a trial comes and stuff happens and you kind of get thrown around for the day. Like stuff, I don't know, a situation arises, right? Something happens to you, but your habit will just get your senses up and be like, you know, you haven't really spent time with God. Why don't you just, oh, thank God I had that habit in place, you know, a good habit in place. Whereas you can have a bad habit to where, oh, I need to play video games for, like, during this time. I need to get my time in or I'm not going to feel good for the day. You know, it can work either way. Habits can be positive or negative, you know. So, you know, when we can make it a mistake and just not spend time, adequate time with the Lord. And the best thing to do is not beat up on yourself. Like it's easy to do, but I think that, yeah. And you know what? You just come to church, you get fired up. And I think one of the best things to do in this life is to be careless, right? Well, if you're just careless and if you just obey God, if you have a mindset of like, oh, okay, you know what? What happened in the past is in the past. And if you're careless, you're gonna start to look at things differently. You know, God doesn't really care. God doesn't worry about things, right? Right. God doesn't. So check this out. If God doesn't worry about things, God is careless about things because he's already given us and blessed us with everything we're going to already have. The blessing's on us. And if we respond to it right, it's going to work for us, right? So if we have the mindset of, okay, no problem, I'll do better. No problem, this will work out. I just got to obey. I can't, if you're constantly like mulling over something that happened to you, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be like, all right, I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you know? This person in my life is not saved. They're getting ready to die, right? And I want them to go to heaven. But if I'm worrying about that, how can I release faith for them when I'm worrying, you know? It's a straight-up process that you just got to, yeah, you just got to get, like I said, you got to hardwire your mind to not give a rip. You know, sometimes it comes down to that. You just got to not care. That's one thing. If you can receive correction, and from your spirit, and just say, okay, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Even if they say it to you harshly, yeah. Then you become someone who God can talk to, you know. Yeah. Sometimes we're so soft, we need to be coddled, we need to be this, we need to be that. I mean, the body of Christ is the best. Some people get offended at the body of Christ for correcting them harshly. But they go to the world and they're like, oh my gosh, the world's way worse. Like you go to the workplace and like you're yelling at me for no reason. We have it good here, you know? Yeah, like God doesn't want us to be softies. He wants us to be strong-willed. So like I said, you don't want to be religious in spending time with him. And what I mean by that, like I said, it's you and God, you have to do this, you have to do that. I have to be reading this book and I need to go to the book of Proverbs. I have to, you know, Proverbs, I actually do that. If you go, yeah, Proverbs, it's good to do. But if you don't get into it, no big deal. Like you just obey the Holy Ghost with what he has for you, right? It's easy. Sometimes you can get in condemnation over it, but I know all y'all are pretty good about that. You're good. So, and I love what God said to Pastor Nancy. He's not limited to our time of day, right? God's not limited to 4 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock before work, then when I get home from work. No, he's limited to he is ever-present throughout the day, ready to talk to us about anything, you know? The cool thing about this, I never thought it would work, but sometimes you just got to take a step of faith. If you just start talking to God, you know, in the middle of work, you start talking to God about your day, you start talking to God about this, he'll start talking to you back. Trust me, I promise you, if you start talking to him and start honoring him by talking to him, just like he's a real person in your life, just like he's right next to you, just like I would be talking to Tony if I came up to him, he'll start talking to you back. He'll start talking to you about his word. You talk to God about his word, he'll talk to you back about it, and that's when it's revealed to you. And that's how a relationship starts, you know? There's no relationship without fellowship, right? I have a relationship with God as my Father. He's my Savior. Jesus is my Savior and Lord. However, if I don't fellowship within that relationship, then there's no communication. I don't even know them, right? So let's say Kenny in the back, he says to me, John, I'm going to give you $100 next Sunday, right? I know Kenny. I know he'll keep his word, right? And I know he's going to give me that $100. So I'll come to church next Sunday expecting $100. Let's say a stranger comes in and he's like, John, I'm going to give you $400,000, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that. But he's a stranger, I don't know him. Okay, so what credibility does that bear in my mind? That I don't even know this guy, and this fool, or this dude, he wants to offer me money, right? Okay, am I going to be next Sunday expecting 400, let's say even say 100, am I going to be expecting any amount of money next Sunday? Probably not. I don't know the dude. I don't even know if he'll be here. But I know Kenny will be here. Same with God. Faith is merely a relationship. When you're spending time with God and when you get to know him, then it's easier to trust him when it comes to the stuff that comes against you, right? Yeah, and if he says, I'm going to supply all your need, well, you're not really, that verse doesn't ring true with you if you have a lot of money in the bank. But God tells you to step out in faith. And he says to do this, you better have a relationship with which, or fellowship within that relationship with which you can trust him, right? No trust, then no faith. Faith is just trust. It's trusting God. It's getting to know someone, you know? What else did I want to say? You know what? Let's repeat this after me. Y'all ready? It says, Lord, I choose to seek you first.
I choose to seek you first.
And I will seek you first.
I will seek you first.
I'll start my day with you.
I'll start my day with you.
I'm led by your spirit on what to do. I love spending time with you.
For it is my joy.
Now, if you confess that, so at the end, you say, for it is my joy. If you confess that at the end, you start saying, I love spending time with God. You know, when I was a teenager in college, I did not want to have anything to do because I'm like, I could be hanging with friends. I could be doing this. What does this have to offer me? You know, but if you confess that by faith, you say, Lord, I love spending time with you. It's my joy. It's my delight. I love it. I love it more than I love hamburgers and I love chocolate. I love it more than I love food. I love it more than I love video games. I love spending time with you, Lord, more than I love anything else in the world. And then you'll start feeling like that because you have what you say, right? You know, one thing about the word is it says you shall, if a man believe in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he say, right? But if you don't, So if I'm like, I'll have an airplane, right? Well, check this out. No, there's no faith that came because I didn't hear God tell me that I could have an airplane, right? Right? Okay, what do I need an airplane for, first of all? Second of all, if I don't hear and faith doesn't come in my heart for this, then I can't have what I can't just have whatever I say. You know, I'm not going to tell, if I tell Tony, I'm like, hey, Tony, I want you to give me your, I'm going to believe for Tony's car, right? So I tell you that, someone's going to be like, you're tripping, bro. You're crazy. Like, why are you trying to take my car? Tony never told me he was going to give me my car. God never told me Tony was going to give me his car. So was there any faith, which comes by hearing, to get his car? No, right. That's something important in this word. You hear faith in what we confess, but if there's no faith that comes for it. Same with healing. If God can tell you, and this doesn't mean you lack faith, but let's say you broke your finger, and you're like, Lord, I'm believing for healing, and the Holy Spirit says, go to a doctor. You know, you just go to a doctor, because that's what God told you, and you have faith to go to the doctor, then you release your faith in that, and that's growing your faith, because maybe the next time something happens, you just believe God to be healed, but He's telling you. Now, if you don't go to the doctor, well, then that's, you don't have any faith to not go to the doctor. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Do y'all understand this?
Yes.
If there's no faith to act on, even though it seems like it's the word, then you're going to fall. Like, that's the simple thing about it. God says, you say you want a house. And you want a $700,000 house. But God says, you know what? I want you to get this $400,000 house. Okay? God said to get that house. So there's faith to get that house. And when you release faith, power flows. But there's no faith that came to get that $700,000 house. So when you release faith, say, oh, thank you, Lord, for this $700,000 house. There's not going to be any faith for power to flow, right? It's pretty simple. You know, it's what you believe is what you can act on, and you can release faith for what you believe. And believing is faith. And faith comes by hearing, right? So y'all get that formula? I'll say it one more time. I want to release faith for something, right? But I got to have faith for it in the first place, right? So faith is, it's an interchangeable word with believing, right? So if I believe, and what does it say? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. All right, is the hearing part. Okay, let's say I didn't hear. No hearing, no faith, then there's no result, right? But if you got hearing, then you have faith for it, then you're going to have a result. You know, it's easy to say, I don't know, it's easy to be like, I'm releasing faith for this to happen in this person's life. Well, did God talk to you about that person's life? You know, are you the pastor of the church? I'm not going to believe for, let's say I'm believing for Sherry to be in the NBA, right? And then, does Sherry want to play in the NBA? Probably not. Can she play in the NBA? No, I mean, she's pretty short, and she's a woman, first of all. I'm sure she can play well, but she don't want to be in the NBA, right? But if I'm releasing faith for her to be in the NBA, that's bogus. Like, it ain't going to happen. Because there ain't no faith. There ain't no faith to release, right? Yeah. But check this out. Let's say Sherry tells me, you know, it's not God telling me, but Sherry tells me, God told me to bless you with $100, and I'm going to give it to you next Sunday. Okay, I trust Sherry, and I trust God. And now she's telling me that. Now, I know I'm going to get $100 next Sunday, right, Sherry? She's going to give me $100. She's going to fork over. No, I'm just playing. Yeah, see, I just play. No, she's not. She's not going to do it. She doesn't have to do that. But it's just important to know. I don't know how I got off on this, but you got to, when you have faith for something, you have to have the word, right? The word has to be behind it. And without the word, there's no faith to be released. And it's very important. Sometimes we're believing for things that we have to check ourselves. Did God tell me to believe for that? It may seem good, you know. It may seem good to believe for a new car for your family. But is that what God wants you to do right now? Is He telling you to get a house? Is He telling you to do something else? That's why it's important to pray in the Spirit. And what praying in the Spirit does is it strengthens your spirit. It helps you to live out of your spirit, so when you hear more clearly from it, it's because you're not, it's like I said, you're feeding your spirit, not feeding the flesh, right? So you're positioning yourself. Now, when you do this with habitual fellowship, you're hearing right, and you start to become more sound, right? You become more sound in how you believe. You become more sound because I like what Brother Keith Moore said. He said essentially he said, I'm going to be more precise with what I release my faith for. And the more precise you are, the more successful you'll be, right? You guaranteed 100% success when you release your faith for something and you don't waver and you believe that it's going to come to pass, right?
Yeah.
So I release faith for that. And I know it's true because I had faith for it. But sometimes you got to be precise. You know, God's like, hey, I want you to do this with the house or with the church. I want you to do this with the church. But you try to do something that God didn't tell you to do, then you're overstepping, you know. I think y'all got that. Y'all got that point pretty well. But I'm just saying, like, when you're in fellowship with every day, you're not arduously trying to get better at something. You're not trying to get more faith. You're just spending time with God. And with that comes more faith, comes the blessings manifest, comes this. It's an all-out flow. And when you just let everything work together, when you let everything work right for you, it's easy. You know, you don't got to worry about anything. So, amen. I think that's it. You know, this faith life is easy. It's not hard. It's not burdensome. It's don't try to get, like, everything in your mind, like, I got to do this, I got to do that. I have to spend time. I have to be doing this, right? You don't got to do that. You got to just be straight up with God. Be like, hey, I'm going to spend time with you. If you want me to do anything else, let me know, Lord. But I'm just going to spend time with you, and I'm going to enjoy it. And you realize how people like Lester Summerall, Brother Hagin, they're like, man, how'd they get so far? It seems so hard to just spend time in the Word. They're like, oh, yeah, I was spending 6 hours. Well, that's 6 hours they spend in the Word, you know? It was nothing to them, you know? If Brother Tony's spending 4 hours in the Word, he's enjoying the whole time of it, right? If Brother Pastor Ken, anyone, if you're going to be spending that much time, you better enjoy it because you're not going to want to do it again. But those people who do, they enjoy their time. You know, it's something that the world doesn't get and they can't quite understand because their spirit's not enlightened, right? But when you're an example to others and spending time with the Word and they start seeing the joy on your life and then you start acting in the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy, you start flowing like that, then you become an example, right? And when you become an example, they start wondering, like, man, I kind of want some of that. What are you doing every day? Oh, you're spending time with God? Does that get boring? You're like, no, it's like I'm talking to the creator of the universe. It's pretty cool if you know what I mean, right? Anyway, God is good. God is good. Time with him is good. Time with him is fun. He's a fun God. You know, he laughs. It says he laughs at destruction. So if he's laughing at destruction, I mean, we should probably be laughing a little bit too, you know? We get a laugh, ha ha ha. You know, when things come in our life, we're supposed to laugh at them. We're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to be joyful people, you know. When a trial comes, don't get all anxious and worked up. I think one of the best things to do is if you just remain calm in trials, people see that and they realize, oh man, I want that. I want that peace, that righteousness, peace, and joy. Because that's evidence of faith, right? When you're in faith, you're gonna have peace and you're gonna be in joy. And you're going to enjoy your life. And you're going to be peaceful all your life. So when you're in joy, you enjoy. When you're in peace, it just makes everything way better. Yeah, I don't know. It's good. Y'all got to experience it, though. Y'all got to do it. When you get home, and I trust me, I know sometimes you get tired. Go take a nap when you get home, you know. You go to lunch, you go eat. But next day, wake up with, okay, I want y'all to do this. I'm going to challenge y'all. Wake up tomorrow morning. It doesn't have to be a certain amount. Just 15 minutes. Just spend time worshiping God. And it'll set your day. You start getting in the habit of doing that. You start getting into that habit, that flow. You'll see some changes happen in your life. I've seen it happen with me. And I've messed up multiple times. There's been times I haven't spent any time in the Word. You know, don't ever neglect time with God for ministry. It may seem righteous, but, you know, I've come to ministry. I did third year of Bible school, right? And I didn't come full of the Spirit. I didn't spend any time with God. And here I am cussing up a storm because I'm getting in an argument with someone, right? It was me and another intern. He's a great guy. But I was just being a carnal bucket and just responding and just being totally rude and stuff. And, you know, I'm not a good example. Like, what kind of Christian is that? You're flipping the bird in traffic. You know, I'm starting to side with Sherry. Like, who wants to do that, you know? Yeah, come on, Sherry. But, you know, Sherry's good. She's good. It's an everyday. Just start with the little changes, you know. It doesn't have to be a huge step. You just start with the little things, you know. I've noticed that it's better to go sometimes in little steps, but you obey God on what to do. You obey God on what to enact in your life. But you know, you gotta act, you know. Sometimes we say, oh God, if I see this working in this person's life, why isn't it working for me? Well, why don't you just try doing a little bit of what that person does, you know? Why don't you start acting on the word? And don't be religious about your time spent with God. Let it be a flow. Just maybe a lot. As soon as you wake up, that was 15 minutes. This is what we should do. Just be like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll worship. I'll dance. I'll ask some good exercise, you know, too. I'll be in the word. I'll do this, you know. And what that does, you start, like I said, it puts your flesh down. It trains you to live out of your spirit for the rest of the day. And then you're in that flow, right? You're in that flow of righteousness, peace, and joy. And some days you may have hours to spend in the word and just enjoy it. Some days you may only have 15 minutes. You may be at work. No big deal. You just enjoy it. You enjoy that time and you be practical about it, right? And you just obey. But if God stops you and is like, hey, I want you to spend time with me. Get off your phone. Stop scrolling through Facebook. You do it, you know. It's so easy. I've been looking at cars on Instagram, watching Top Gear or watching YouTube channels for hours at a time, you know. And it's not a bad thing, right? But it's time that I could be spending with God. That doesn't mean I have to cut out Top Gear, the whole thing. I don't have to cut up that cool car channel, but maybe I cut half of it and just spend time with God. Man, I'm loving this time with God. Maybe I just don't want to watch Top Gear anymore. Maybe I'll just watch it every so often. But when you take the time to put the flesh down and take the time to spend time with God, you're training yourself to do it in the future. And for what God's calling y'all to do, so, I mean, God expects growth out of us, right? And for what he's called us to do, we got to constantly go higher, right? Pastor's always talking about we want to go higher in this church, we want to do this. But it starts with what we do every day. Revival starts, like you look at the revivals in England, you look at in the East Coast, you look at Azusa Street, William Seymour. You know, they were praying hours a day in the spirit, right? That revival came. It came through prayer. It came through people intercessing or interceding. And what that is people, they don't do that out of necessity. They don't be like, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray 8 hours and we're going to, whether we feel like it, it was a flow of their life, you know, it was a flow, but you can get to that point. You can easily get to that point and don't think it far from you to ever be praying 8 hours a day, 8 hours a time. It's not just reserved for fivefold offices, you know, people can be prayer warriors, You can do so much if you just spend your time and you start to get habits in, you know. Constantly challenge yourself, but you don't got to take huge steps. So, amen. God's good, right? Pretty good, huh? God made it easy for us. He made this flow easy for us. It's pretty, I mean, the word, anything that's hard about the word isn't the word. I mean, the word is easy. God made it easy for us. So, you just got to step out and do it. Amen. Well, I think Sister Christina has an announcement you want to make. You have the microphone. Oh, cool.
Just our offering we're going to take for our pastors. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Our pastors have poured so much into us. I mean, just today. She couldn't be here today because she got stuck in California. You know, they're doing something over there. But you know what? She knew exactly who to put right here and give us the word. She knew who was going to be obedient and who would speak the word and let the Holy Ghost take over. And that in itself, I mean, how blessed are we that we have a pastor that can do that? It's such a blessing. Such a blessing. Praise God. So, just going to make it real short. You can go ahead and pass out envelopes. And the children had my phone on, you know, videos. So let me get to my notes here. Praise God. Praise God. That was a good word, Johnny. Praise God. Well, let's turn to Proverbs 3:33. We'll just use the latter part of this. Scripture. I didn't bring my Bible up here. I have it on my phone, but I'll just read off of here. The first part, curse, you know, the curse of the Lord is on the house. Nope. Oh, yep, that's fine. So I'm going to skip halfway down the verse where it says, but he decrees blessed, joyful, and favored with blessings are the home of the just and the consistently righteous. And I was looking up in the Hebrew that word, what actual word they used in the Hebrew. Like, do they use just? Do they use righteous? What word did they use? And they used the word, I may say that I may butcher the way they said it in the Hebrew, but I'm not Hebrew. So tzaddik is the word that they used. And that word, the definition of the word is just and righteous. And it is used to, the usage is just, lawful, and righteous. So, you know, we could actually say God blesses the home of the one who keeps God's law. Lawful. You know, they don't put all of the what the Greek, what the Hebrew, they don't put all of that in English because the way that that language is written, it's really written in a three-dimensional way. So one word can mean a whole description, a whole sentence in English. So you can't just take it for, you know, what it is in the English. Sometimes when you look it up in those Greek and Hebrew words, it really gives you a better definition. Because in this situation, it's talking about the just, the lawful, the righteous man. So God blesses the home of the one who keeps God's law, who serves justice. So I just wanted to take the time to share a little bit about our testimony on getting our house. Because getting the new house that we've gotten, I know you all know where it's at, and it's just so fun. But, you know, I never would have gotten that house had I not been in this church, had I not been under this pastor. These pastors, I mean, they pour so much into, I just kind of want to share. So in 2020, we actually planned to possibly head to Bible college. Tony and I, we were kind of talking about it. We actually made plans. We started talking to a realtor, seeing if we were going to rent out our house, if we were going to sell it, if we're going to do this or that. And pastor said, you know what? I don't think you should go. And you know what? Miss Sherry pointed this out to me. So this was in 2020. What happened in 2020 that was, you know, so big? COVID. If we would have went there in 2020, California was so locked down, we would have had our children there, been trying to struggle for a way to live, find new jobs and all of that, all through COVID where nothing is open, so you can't get jobs. You know, so that protection, my pastor said, you know what? It may be something for your future, but it's not right now. And I said, okay. We took that and we said, okay, that's what you said. We're sticking with it. And had we not listened to that, you know, praise God. So just in that. But when we did that with our house, they actually gave us, you know, a market analysis of our house and all that. And I found that the other day when packing up all the rest of our stuff. And we just sold our house. Our greenhouse. So let's go here. We have our old greenhouse and we have our new red house. So that's how I'm going to specify. Okay. So our greenhouse, it was listed $60,000 under what we sold it for just this past month. $60,000 under. If we would have not listened to our pastor, you know, that is an increase in our lives. Praise God. And so then we had, we were casually looking for a house. You know, we, in getting the new house, we were kind of, I really knew that we needed to get a new place, but I was trying to get Tony on board and he was, he was kind of, you know, you get to a spot where you're like, I'm comfortable. We don't need to stretch. You know, we don't need to stretch. Why do we need to stretch? But really, it wasn't working, especially we now have three children. Their bedrooms just weren't laid out right in the old house. It was a beautiful house. It was a big house. But it just wasn't laid out right for how our family is now. And so, and God started talking to us. And we actually went to that meeting back in May in Denver, Missouri. Pastor Nancy was there. So we decided to make our way there. It was only, 3-hour drive. Yeah. So it wasn't too far. We really wanted to go to the camp meeting, but we didn't see that as a possibility with the children, with COVID, some of the standards. And so we made our way to still see Pastor Nancy in some way. So we go to that meeting, and the whole time she's talking about getting a bigger vision. Going bigger. God's not a small God where, oh, well, you need a new dishwasher? Let me give you this piece of crap over here. He doesn't do that. You need a new dishwasher? He's going to give you the latest and the greatest and the best. Exactly. So expanding your vision. And so whenever we went to that meeting, I was like, okay, I'm going to take this instruction. That instruction was for my life. So I started believing for bigger, believing for better. We started agreeing and believing for that. And then Tony took me on a date to the castle in Omaha in this past summer. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the Joslin Castle. It's a beautiful place. It's beautiful. So we went and ate there, and in eating at the castle, they seated our table in the doorway. In the doorway of, like, it was like from the great room, like the staircase room to the dining room. I was in the doorway with a table. Seeing this would not have been big enough for the doorway. Looking at this would not have been big enough for that doorway in that castle. And I just started thinking, you know, in Jericho, there was giants in Jericho, you know, and that's why they wanted that promise. I mean, that was the promised land, right? Okay, so everything was bigger. Everything was greater. And that's what I thought. I was like, I would love to have a doorway like this. Why can't I have a house like this? And I saw the crown molding and why can't I have a house like this? I love this crown molding. This is beautiful. I can have a house like this. And so Tony and I decided we're going to start putting our faith. This is what we want in a house. And God is just so good. And, little did I know that there was going to be a house that came on the market 3 months later that we would be moving into 3 months later with the crown molding. Our current house, those of you who don't know, our current house has beautiful crown molding in it. And it has the big doorways. It has two huge pocket doors and other great doors. You know, it's just, God is so good. He cares about those small details. And that wouldn't, so we actually, when we came back from the meeting with Pastor Nancy, we started putting our faith on a different house. And I'm still putting my faith on that house because I still believe, Tony's laughing at me, I still believe that's our house. But the instruction that Pastor Jackie had given me was, maybe you should take a baby step. Maybe you should have a stepping stone. Because the house we were in was at a certain range, and the house we're in now is at a different range, and the house that I'm believing for is double that. So, you know, so you're looking at it, and you got to take those steps. But at the time, I was just putting my faith on the one. And so I was like, I'm not going to get a different house. I'm not going to look for a different house. I'm only putting my faith on this one. And Pastor gave me that instruction. She said, well, maybe you should take a stepping stone. And then Tony and I got serious. We said, okay, we're going to go start looking at houses. We're getting in, you know, we're going to find the one that God has for us now, because that's our future house. But right now, there's another house. God promises houses. So praise God. So that specific instruction that Pastor gave, it just gives she gives so much into each of our lives that taking a month to honor her, it's not even enough. It's not even enough. Praise God. I mean, Pastor, she's just such a blessing. I'm sure she's watching, or maybe she's getting ready for service, or she'll watch later, I'm sure. But Pastor, we just love you, and you are so wonderful. You are so good to us. And so we're just taking that time to honor her. So that was basic. I just wanted to share with you the blessing. We would not have had this house had it not been for Pastor. And that is just, it's just such a good thing. So if all of you are ready. Yep. And now we have garages for our cars. Praise God. God is good. God is good. Depending on the day. Praise God. All righty. Well, let's go ahead and take up this offering. And you know what? Alicia, can you get ready? Let's go out with a song. How's that sound? Can you get Ron Canole, Lift Him Up CD? There's the song Righteousness, Peace, and Joy. I think that's a good one to end on. Well, she finds that. We thank you, Lord, for these offerings. We thank you, Lord, that they are going straight into our pastor's life and that she will be blessed by these offerings and that we will be blessed through it to bless more. We are blessed to be a blessing, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you find it? Do you need some help? All right, I'm coming.